The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and Bernie, and the Rona, and all kinds of things. Let's do this. It's a What Are the Odds Wednesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Wednesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabold, the Voldemort, back in studio. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. If Aaron likes it, he'll read it. Even if he doesn't like it, he'll read it because it makes him feel important. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is blitzed, at Degenerates975. And you could text the show. You know the number for that. And it is a Wednesday when you call, text, tweet, whatever you do. Put odds on it. What are the odds? It's going to be a fun show, Hoffman.
Percent 80? I would say percent 1,000, but I, for whatever reason, I thought today was Thursday. So you said when you said Wednesday, I was like, oh, damn. So
I've been thinking it's Thursday all day.
It goes back to my confusion about what day it is. It's never ending.
I guess it really doesn't matter anymore. I mean, as long as it's Monday through Friday, all we need to know is that we're here doing the show.
So. Basically, yes. How's your day been?
Pretty quiet today, actually. I managed to get a lot accomplished yesterday and Monday, and I kind of feel like maybe I should have procrastinated some things a little bit. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been fine. I had a little too much 20-year-old scotch last night, but otherwise, all good.
My home office now is the spare bedroom, which is right next to the laundry room, and our washing machine, like it's a very aggressive, it tries to get all the, because it's energy efficient. So when you throw it in the dryer, it's damn near already dry because it spins it so damn hard. So it gets kind of noisy at the end of these cycles. And today it was getting noisy, and then there was a noise that I hadn't heard before. And uh-oh. Apparently the bearings thing inside there busted. And if you looked at the top of the washer, there's a bunch of like divots where it looks like it's been shot with buckshot. There's a bunch of raised up spots where all these bearings went flying. And long story short, I had to get a new washer. So,
well, thankfully nobody was in there when that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't go through the top of the washer. It just, oh, okay. There's a bunch of dents in the top of it. So, yeah, that's the way it works.
That's trouble you don't need right now.
But went and I actually made a call to an old sponsor of ours and a local business, and Acceptance Appliance, and got us a new one that is going to be installed during the show. So hopefully you won't hear it, I hope, but I cannot make guarantees.
Well, I will also warn you that there is massive construction going on across the street that has been, you know, jackhammers all day. It's actually gotten quiet now, which is good, but you might hear that. So,
all right.
So just so everybody knows, if you hear something out of the ordinary, that's what it is. Somebody says Friday's a holiday, so it's Thursday for most people. Yeah, the thing is, I don't know that we've ever taken...
It's a company holiday. We don't take it off, but it's a company holiday.
And right now, why would we want to take a day off?
What are we going to do?
Yeah, it's absolutely pointless. So instead, we're just going to have some fun. And had a lot of fun last night. You and I both... got really deep in the 10 o'clock tournament, and I thought it was going to come down to you and me at the end, but that was fun times, man.
That was good. Freddie takes it down. Freddie the champion. And yeah, man, those tournaments have been fun. It's nice to pass a little time, certainly.
Yeah, and we got the charity tournament on Saturday, which I'm looking forward to. And fingers crossed, I might have a couple of really good names in the poker world jumping on to play with us. And I hope to find out today, maybe by the end of the show, and I'll pass it on. But I don't want to say it yet until it's confirmed. I have got a promise from one of them that he'll play one of the tournaments that we do. Because the hope is to do this every Saturday. So should be a lot of fun, and looking forward to it. So can we get dust in the wind for Bernie Sanders?
I think we can. Which, by the way, when you wake up and on Twitter it says RIP Bernie during the corona age, it's like, oh, no, really? But he's not actually dead. He's just not going to be the president.
Well, I think we knew that for a while now, but
we did. But there, apparently, it's still coming as a shock to some people.
Well,
now,
yeah, I can tell from your.
Oh, go ahead.
I said I could tell from the responses to your tweet that some people still just don't buy it.
Yeah. Well, Bernie person is, they're acting a little childish on the internet. At least they were earlier this morning. It was. Oh yeah, well watch this. We're not going to vote now. Watch what happens. You get 4 more years of Trump. And I'm like, okay. I said you can kind of tell that these people grew up in the generation where if you didn't make the cheerleading team, your mom went down to the school, slashed the cheerleaders or the cheerleading coach's tires, and posted on Facebook about a personal vendetta that she has against your kid. And now it's like, and you know, I told people. Some people were asking, well, what are we supposed to do? And I was like, well, think about it like this. Let's say you're really hungry for meatloaf, okay? You go downstairs, and your mom had said, hey, there's a good chance I'm cooking meatloaf tonight, and you're excited. You want this meatloaf. But you get downstairs, and something came up, and now your mom is like, listen, I didn't make meatloaf. So you can either have leftover pizza, or you can have a bowl of cereal. You're like, oh, I really wanted meatloaf. Well, that's no longer an option. So you're going to starve? Are you going to choose between the cereal and the frozen pizza?
I'm just not going to eat, Mom.
That's what they're being. Fine. I just won't eat. Okay. go to your room and starve then. Like, you're talking to them like they're my 7-year-old. So yeah, I'm as you know, I'm a long time hater of the 2-party system. I think Democrats and Republicans are both really weird, and today reinforces that. And one of the things that may come out of this as a positive is apparently a lot of Bernie people are going to vote third party, and maybe that would be enough to get, you know, the third party onto the ballots onto ballots in every state and onto debates. I doubt it, because there's a lot of people who will say they'll do it, but then when push comes to shove, they won't. They'll either not vote, or they'll either vote for Trump out of spite, or they'll vote for Biden begrudgingly. And, you know, whatever you want to spend your vote on, it's up to you. I say that all the time. Vote for the person who you think represents what's important to you. But because your favorite person isn't going to win, you saying, well, I'm just not going to participate in the process anymore. That's silly. That's silly.
What it feels to me like is, you know, there's this girl you've been dating for a while, and she's been dating somebody else at the same time. And she's like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go the other way. And you go, fine, I'm just going to cut my penis off then. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah, not a good call. how's your daughter feeling about this? I know she was a big Bernie person.
I haven't talked to her about it today, just because you know, I've kind of been spending some time working on the sequel to Jesus. So I kind of locked down a little bit and did that. But I'm going to reach out to her. We pretty much text after the show every night about things. So I'll find out how she's feeling. But knowing her, she'll vote for Biden. She's not one of these nutcases that, you know, she, you know, has her candidate. And if that's not going to be who it is, then she'll go on to
figure out the next best thing.
Yeah, which is kind of what I tried to teach her about politics over the years. It's like, you know what? The truth is, 99% of the people I like are never getting elected. You know, I mean, all they do is tweet about stuff like Andrew Yang. And so you just kind of move down the list and pick the lesser of two evils. And I'm sure that's what she'll do, but I haven't talked to her about it yet. And I haven't seen her tweet about it, but I haven't really been paying too much attention to Twitter other than to see that you riled up all the Bernophiles.
Yeah. Well, I said that the smartest thing that Joe Biden could do, in my opinion anyway, is to pick Elizabeth Warren, because I feel like that's who Bernie was going to pick to be the vice president. And I actually like her. I mean, I shouldn't say I like her. I like her more than most of the people that are being tossed about there. And I thought when it was down to those, like to Bernie, Bloomberg, Biden, and her, I thought she was by far the best of those choices. But the reality is if he picks her, maybe that brings back some of the Bernie people and gives them a chance. But I think if the people who say they're not voting actually aren't voting, it may mean four more years of Trump, that the election may have been decided today, one way or the other.
I think the election was already decided. I mean, once this is what they came up with, which is the same old establishment crap.
Yeah.
Then I mean, that's what Trump ran against. That's why he won. And I think I think the election's over. I mean, I think has been as soon as Biden became the front runner. I don't think there was any chance that Democrats were going
to
win.
What I will say is, you have to remember, I mean, Trump didn't win the popular vote, you know, 4 years ago against a really unlikable candidate, even with Benghazi and emails and all that stuff going on. And several of the states that voted or that swung him, like Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, are now leaning blue. So it's not out of the realm of possibility, but I agree that Biden is not a great candidate. And it really is painful to hear him speak at this point. So I don't want to say it's like a foregone conclusion, but it certainly does feel like it's an uphill climb if you're a Democrat. So I don't know what I'm waiting to see what kind of other candidates pop up, because you know me, I'm a big believer in if you think both people are bad, then vote for somebody you don't think is bad, and that way you can at least go 4 years without a guilty conscience. That's probably what I'll end up doing again, but I'm interested to see what else pops up over the next, especially you know, now that I hope it's not Jill Stein. We've had enough Jill Stein. Okay. Let's not run her back out there, but I'm curious to see what else pops up from this. You also got to remember, Fred, there's a lot of people now. Had this election happened, Biden versus Trump, you know, 9 months ago, I'd say, it's probably a landslide. The world's different right now. Unemployment rates through the roof. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that there are people who are frustrated, you know?
Well, and that's the thing. We don't know what the world's going to look like in 2 months, because it certainly doesn't look like it did 2 months ago. And yeah, but his approval ratings and the way he's handled this continue to be high. But we'll see if people still feel that way when a lot more people are out of work here in a couple months. And you know, I hate that, you know, we're going to have to all deal with this. But I mean, I don't think we're anywhere near what's going to actually happen in this country from an economic standpoint. And that scares the living crap out of me. And, you know, yeah, maybe that means people will want to change. But, you know, as of today, I don't think there's much chance. Now, and a lot depends on who he picks as a running mate, because that person's probably going to wind up being president. Because I don't think Biden is, and I mean, I don't mean to sound morbid, but I don't think physically that guy is capable of that job for 4 years. And we talk about this all the time, how every one of these guys come out looking 20 years older after 8 years or 4 years even, except for Trump, but he doesn't give a bleep. So I don't think he's going to age a day. But I think it would be really hard for Biden to do that for 4 years.
And before anybody starts tweeting me about it, I'm not blaming what's going on in the country on Trump by any means. It's not what I was trying to say with the unemployment rate and things like that. I'm not blaming the virus on Trump. I know that's been a big thing, is people blaming. I don't blame any person for this.
No, this. I mean, if this had happened with anybody as president, it was going to be.
Yep.
It was going to be a disaster economically, no matter what the government might have done differently, no matter who it had been, we were going to be in this situation, and you know, so that. I mean, I'm not putting that on him, but. Cody says y'all are shortchanging Tulsi. She's got a shot.
I think Tulsi's out of the running.
Yeah, well, maybe that's his vice president. But she wasn't on those odds, though. So, all right, let's take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy What Are the Odds Wednesday, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to call in, we'll give it a shot. So far, the calls have worked, even with us out on location all over the city. Somebody asking, when's the next time you guys are going to play in the same tournament? I don't know, because I don't know when I'm going to play. I just sort of decided at the last minute, mainly because I played that 8 o'clock, and I wasn't really in the mood for it, and I was kind of half-assing it, and I didn't finish very well. And so I decided to play the 10 o'clock because, you know, before we play Saturday, I kind of want to have, you know, I want to have some confidence going in, and that's a win, a second, and a fourth in three of my last four. So I feel like I may just stop there and wait until Saturday. But I didn't expect to see AJ until, you know, he started kicking ass, and I looked up and, oh, it's AJ. So
it started strong, didn't finish as strong.
Yeah, well, you ran into aces in the final table.
That'll do it.
It kind of sucked. But yeah, so I don't know, but I'm definitely playing the tournament on Saturday. And, you know, I may or may not. It's like the night before, for the one I finished second in, I waited till 8:09 and just decided at the last minute, you know what, I'm going to play this. I'm not drinking tonight. I'm going to play series. So, I mean, they're there for everybody to play, and Jerry's got the cash games going on that Poker Bros. I am not on that, so I've been getting a lot of questions about those. That's all Jerry, so hit him up. But please, if you're going to play the tournament on Saturday, get signed up as early as possible just so we can keep track of everybody. It's going to be a real if it turns out to be a big number, it's going to be a lot of work for us to make sure everybody's matched up and in that's supposed to be in. So if you're going to play, all the information's on Sports Map. I'll go over it again sometime later in the show today. But and then another question is, are you guys worried if sports doesn't come back this year that you won't have jobs? I'm not worried about that. I know a lot of people in the sports business are, which is why you're seeing so many stories like baseball may come back in May. It's like they're really hopeful because, you know, that's their careers. And as far as I'm concerned, I think there's more important things that need to come back first. And as that happens, I mean, I think we'll be fine. I really do, because I mean, we can, as you guys have probably realized, after almost a, you know, how long have we had no sports? About a month,
something like that.
Yeah, we can do this all day. I mean, and have fun with the show, and we can work in some sports. But the thing is, yeah, if there's nothing until football season, you know, anybody who covers baseball, anybody who covers basketball or hockey or any of those things or golf, man, they're out there hoping. And anytime there's a story that says, hey, this might happen, they're going to jump all over it. And, you know, for me, it's like, we'll be fine. We start getting some businesses open again, getting some business back. We're going to, you know, I think we could almost, I'm pretty sure we could survive until the end of the year without sports, as long as some of the other stuff starts coming back. But that's just my opinion.
I mean, I think we'll be able to, I think we can do the show regardless of what's out there. We can figure something out. But
yeah, I'm not worried about the show itself. I mean, that part of it's the easy part. Even Sports Map, I'm not worried about anymore. That one had me more concerned, but you know, we've managed to keep coming up with content and fun stuff for people, and we're going to keep doing that. So, no, I'm not worried about that. The only thing that I've kind of been thinking about is my whole plan was to do this for 5 more years and then evaluate things. But when you see everything that's happened in the world and you realize that, you know, hey, this is how fleeting life can be and how everything you have can just disappear in a heartbeat. You know, I have given some thought to maybe not, you know, because I feel like I have one chapter left in my career that, and it doesn't involve radio, and it involves writing novels and playing poker and living in Canada half the year and living on our land in East Texas the other half of the year. And for some reason, maybe it's just being isolated, but that's really starting to appeal to me on a slightly more accelerated timeline. But you know what? We'll see. I'm still having fun. Somebody says just turn it into a TMZ map. I think we'd get sued for that.
Yeah, I think so. But we could just make it, we could call it Hoffman on Hollywood map.
Yeah, except there's not really any Hoffman on Hollywood on there. No,
we can make it
a video.
It'll just be me talking about Taylor Swift concerts being canceled and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
well,
the devastation that would cause.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, we're all sports oriented, but boy, there's been a lot of concerts. There's, you know, I mean, stuff like that's been put off, and you know, like the Shinedown concert I was going to go to got moved. Stuff like that. I don't know when we're going to be able to get back to doing those either. And I don't know if I'm going to want to go.
Right.
That's the weird part. But 713-780-ESPN. 832 says your end of the show line should be changed until tomorrow. Stay corona-free, bitches. It's just temporary.
You really should.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. 832,
don't let it get you.
If you can remind me of that at about 6:50, I'll probably do that. Thanks for the suggestion. So I don't know if we have time to get to it this segment, but I'll tease it a little bit. Last year at this time, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know how we've been going through and doing. We did the Texans and the Cowboys and what the odds would be,
right?
For all their games. Last year at this time, Tampa Bay was a projected preseason favorite in 3 games.
Okay,
and. And on game day, they were a favorite in 7 of their 16. So, apparently, odds makers think Tom Brady makes a difference. Would you care to guess?
I think sports bettors think he makes a difference, and odds makers are adjusting.
Yeah. Well, we'll go through the games next segment. But of the 16 games, how many do you think the Buccaneers are projected to be favored in right now?
I still don't think it's crazy because all 3 of the other teams in their division are good enough that I would assume they'll be, you know, at least with like Carolina and Atlanta, I could see Tampa being favored at home, but they shouldn't be road favorites against those teams. And New Orleans, I wouldn't even think they'd be a home favorite. So I'll go 8. Well, that's without seeing their schedule in front of me.
Well, I'll tell you their schedule, and then when we come back, I will tell you what the actual number is.
Okay.
And I think
you go through the schedule, and I'll tell you what I think the number should be.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you.
You tell me how close I am.
Yeah. Well, I'll you'll be shocked one way or the other. I'll just tell you that. All right. Quick break. We will do that when we come back. It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And we were just talking about the Tom Brady impact on what potential point spreads would be, which, since it's what are the odds Wednesday, so what are the odds that they play 16 games? I'm going to say about 5%, but just in case, here you are. I'll give you the home games and the road games, and then you give me your final number.
Okay.
So, all right, so here's your home games. Obviously, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, Green Bay, Minnesota, Kansas City, Chargers, Rams.
Those are the home games, Sam, again?
The three division games. Right. Green Bay, Minnesota, okay. Kansas City, and both L.A. teams, the Chargers and the Rams.
Okay. I would expect them to be favored in four of those games.
Okay. We'll come back to that. Let's do the road games. Again, Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans. At Chicago. At Denver. At Detroit. At the Giants. At the Raiders.
I'll expect them to be favored in four of those games.
Okay, so you're going to stick with your original number.
Yep, 8-8 against the spread. Well, 8-8 as favorites.
Here is the Tom Brady impact, and prepare to be shocked. I feel shocked. This site has them favored in 14 games.
Oh my God! So let me just guess. The Chiefs at home, they can't be favored, right?
No, they're +3.
Okay. And then at New Orleans is the other one?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, +3.5 at New Orleans, I guess because it's a road game.
Their road schedule is relatively light, honestly.
Yeah, it is.
I think four, you know, being favored in four of those games isn't totally crazy, but being favored in seven of them, yeah, I can't get there.
Well, I'll go over them all, and then let's see how many of these where we would be on the other team. It's
okay.
Going to be a bunch. -5.5 against the Falcons. Give me Falcon.
At home?
At home, yeah.
Yeah, I'd take the Falcons.
7.5 versus Carolina.
I would take Carolina. I may be betting against the Bucks every game this year.
Well, -1 against the Saints. Again, these are all the home games.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I'll take the Saints.
The Saints don't usually play well in Tampa, so I could see that. But 2.5 against Green Bay.
Boy, yeah, I'd take the Packers.
-3 versus Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I would take the Vikings probably pretty heavy, honestly.
Yeah. +3 against the Chiefs.
I would take the Chiefs.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs are going to hammer them. -6.5 against the Chargers. I wish I knew who the Chargers quarterback was going to be.
Yeah, that's a tough one. But I still would probably take the Chargers unless it's, you know, you.
Yeah, well, I may be the choice here if the virus takes all the quarterbacks. -3 against the Rams.
That actually sounds about right.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if I had to take a side, I would take the Rams.
I think I might take Tampa here, so that might be two of the games where I would take Tampa of the eight. All right, the road games. 1-point favorites at Atlanta. To hell with you on that. I'm taking the Falcons.
Yes.
3.5-point road favorites at Carolina.
That just seems unbelievable to me.
Yeah. 1.5 at Chicago.
That's not unbelievable right there. I mean, that's probably actually about right.
Yeah, I don't know what the Bears are going to be this year. I really don't. And you know, if Nick Foles wins the job and he's Philadelphia Nick Foles, then it'll be, you know, I'd be on Chicago. But I that's a lot of stuff that has to go right. -1 at Denver.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Denver either.
Yeah, I'd feel a lot better about them if they signed Cam Newton. I can tell you that.
Same.
But and then -4 at Detroit.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
I mean, a lot depends on Matt Stafford's situation. There's so many things that could happen before then, but I mean, there's not ones here.
I'll take Brady to embarrass Matt Patricia.
Yeah, although, hey, the last time they met, that didn't work out.
That's true.
But, yeah, so far the home games I've been on, almost every single one I've been on the other side, and the road games are a little more reasonable to me. +3.5 at New Orleans.
Oh, I'll take the Saints.
Yeah, I will too. -4.5 at the New York Football Giants.
I'll probably take the Giants. I wouldn't love it, but I'd probably take them.
Yeah, I probably would too. And then -1.5 at the Las Vegas Raiders.
Give me the Raiders there. I like the Raiders a little bit.
Give me Raiders money, and I don't need to worry about points there.
Yeah,
I'll take the Raiders.
Yeah, I'll be fading the Bucks quite a bit this year, I'm guessing.
Yeah, just goes to show you how much people think that Brady's going to make that big a difference on that team, and you know, we'll see. I mean, I think that they'll be 8-8, 9-7 type team, maybe 10 wins tops, but that's if you get Brady before last year. You get last year's Brady,
oh boy,
then I think 8-8 is a ceiling.
Yeah,
and the one thing that he will have is
weapons,
a lot more weapons, Mike Evans and guys like that. So we'll see.
Yeah, that's undeniable. But weapons can, and I mean, what's his defense going to look like? What's his offensive line looking like? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, that defense played really well at the end of the season last year, and if it weren't for Winston throwing all those pick sixes and giving the ball away.
Here's the other thing. This is kind of what and obviously the turnovers were a big negative for Tampa last year, but a lot of the reason that he had those turnovers because that was a big play offense. So what are you going to have Mike Evans doing now? Are you going to have him running, you know, 5-yard out routes? I mean, how effective is that? I mean, now you're taking away, because I don't think Brady's throwing that deep ball that he used to throw, or that Jameis could throw last year, even though it was getting picked off half the friggin' time. I don't know that he's physically capable of it.
Yeah, what are you going to do, turn Mike Evans into Julian Edelman?
That's my worry.
Yeah, I don't know, and I don't know how he's going to work in that Bruce Arians offense, which, you know, it's a very good offense, but it also puts quarterbacks at risk. And we saw Andrew Luck get beat up in it. We saw Carson Palmer get beat up in it. We saw, you know, Jameis get beat up a little bit last year too. That's just because of the way he designs that offense. So I think Brady's going to take a lot more hits, and you know, I think the whole thing could collapse. I'm really curious to see what their win total is, because I would be leaning under, because I'm guessing if this is the case, then they're going to have a big number, like 10 or 10.5, and I will unload on the under.
Yeah, same.
Speaking of which, over-unders, and I have another crazy pastor story for you next segment.
Boy.
But
Florida?
No, Louisiana, right across our border.
Yeah, but nobody's dying of the Rona there.
No. But Joseph Duarte tweeted out that the win total for the Houston Cougars for next season, 5.5.
Oof. Boy, how quickly did that program kind of fall apart?
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. I think last year, the last 2 years aren't really indicative of what you're going to get out of them this year. I mean, I don't think they're winning 9 games or anything, but I think they're winning minimum 6 and going to a bowl game. So, to me, 5. I mean, they do have a tough schedule. But I think that's kind of an overreaction to last year and to losing Derek King.
Yeah.
The kid they got at quarterback is pretty good, and he'll be just fine. He's not Derek King, but he can play. And, you know, this will be Holgerson's second year. He's got a ton of transfers and graduate transfers and guys like that coming in. So I expect a big jump in year two. I don't know that they'll, you know, compete for the conference title, but I wouldn't shock me if they did. But they ain't going 5. They ain't losing friggin' 7 games next year. I mean, maybe with a bowl game, but that number surprised me. I've got some of the I got some of the totals for those that maybe we can get to later in the show, but I don't have everybody. It's just like the teams with the highest win totals. And, you know, and nobody's actually booking these yet because how do we know that
the games are going to happen?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you got a win total of 10 and you wind up playing an 8-game season, I saw an interesting interesting rumor that one of the things that they're considering for college football is playing in the spring next year if they have to.
That would be weird, but I wouldn't be opposed to it.
No, I wouldn't either. I mean, although, you know, I feel like I have my spring football fix now with the XFL, but...
Listen, the XFL, I like it as much as the next guy, but you'd rather have college football, right?
No, I'd rather football be at the right time, you know, but if there's no other option, yeah, I'd love to have it in the spring. You know, as long as it happens.
Okay.
You know, I think that to me is fairly intriguing because, you know, if you can't get started, I mean, I do think there's some time there where even if you start a few weeks late, you can definitely, because all that dead time between the bowls and maybe we lose a few bowls this year wouldn't be the worst thing in the world. And you get rid of bye weeks. I think you could get the problem is that, you know, everybody's schedules, you might have to change some schedules, which is always a pain in the ass. But I think if you started almost at the end of September, you could still get the whole thing on.
Yeah.
But if you don't, then I think it makes a lot of sense. Oh, man, I watched the worst movie last night. I don't even remember what it was called. Somebody can tell me the name of it. But, yeah, I was looking at through Netflix or Amazon. I don't remember which one. And I saw, Bruce Willis and Sharon Stone and Justin Timberlake. This looks pretty good. Let's give it a shot. It's about a murder, and it's based on a true story. And I'm thinking, okay, I'll watch this. It was the worst thing that I've seen in months. And I don't remember what it was called. If anybody else has seen it, they can tell me because they probably had the same feeling about it. But it was just about a bunch of rich kid drug dealers in California who, you know, wind up taking this kid hostage and befriending him.
Oh, Alpha Dog.
That's what it was, yeah.
I love that movie.
Did you? I thought it was.
I loved it. It's based on a true story.
I know it's based on a true story, but the acting was awful, even with those guys in it. The plot dragged. The characters were just awful. I mean, it was bad.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that movie. I'm on the opposite sides of the street on this one.
I'm a fan of the true story part of it because I went and read up on it, and it's fascinating.
Yeah.
But I just thought they did the crappiest job with that movie. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Ain't a neighborhood in Philly that I can't go. That's a Fendi. For real. She said, oh, you rich, rich.
Rich, rich.
I graduated.
This is The Blitz.
Don't you get it?
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hey, Aaron. No, just kidding. 713-780-ESPN is your number. It's funny, about half the people on the text line are, oh, that was a great movie, you're wrong. And the other half was like, oh, that was awful, you're right. I just thought the characters were so dumb. I mean, it was just, it was really, I just found the whole thing off-putting. And then I read up on the actual story, and that seemed fascinating. So, you know, that's why we all have different tastes.
That's it.
Somebody said, started Banshee last night through 5 episodes. Man, there's a lot of sex and fighting.
That's so great.
Yeah. Not to spoiler, but one of the best fight scenes I think I've ever seen in any show happens in Banshee.
Yeah. So there's sex and violence in basically every single episode.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I think the first one I watched, I think it was either the second or the third episode, and it started off with boobs and sex, and I'm like, oh, I'm in. So I immediately went back and watched the first two. But I've got another pastor for you, AJ.
Give him to me.
Are you familiar with Louisiana's own Tony Spell.
I'm not.
He is the leader of the Life Tabernacle Church in Baton Rouge.
Baton Rouge, all right.
He says...
Go
he
Tigers!
yeah. Coach Ed's probably going, go Tigers! He thinks true Christians do not mind dying from COVID-19. He insists that what they fear instead is living in fear. As he puts it, people that can prefer tyranny over freedom do not deserve freedom. So, of course, his whole reaction is, let's get on with life.
Yeah. And there's a Diamond and Silk, which I guess is like some sort of show on Fox. It's these two ladies who tweeted that that we've got to get out. Like, staying at home, we're going to kill ourselves staying at home. And Twitter suspended their account until they took that down because that's not actually true. That's a lie.
Yeah, 1,000 members attended his church on Sunday.
Jeez,
he had previously
How's that
even
been legal. There's so many people dying there.
He had previously been arrested and charged for violating the state mandate. And guess what? Easter Sunday, he's sticking to his guns.
Dude, send him to jail.
I'm just curious if there are Christians that, true Christians out there, mind you, he says, which, you know, okay, I think we all have a little definition of that that's different based on where you go.
Yeah.
But I'd really like to hear from somebody who would rather they don't mind dying.
No, I'm against dying, certainly.
Yeah, I am too. But, what are the odds getting drunk and giving myself a haircut last night was a bad idea?
I think there's a lot of people getting to that. I don't know about doing the drunk thing, but there's a lot of people giving themselves haircuts.
Not wise, guys.
There's mixed results, to say the least.
Yeah, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to let it all grow out. I'm going to let my facial hair grow out because there's just not enough razors to even worry about it. And then when we get back to normal, we'll get back to normal. And if I like the way it looks, guess what? I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
And if I don't, I'll get a haircut then. It's not like I need to look good for anybody right now.
That's right. So. That's how I am. I haven't shaved my head or my beard. So cool. I'm
you're going to look like Dusty Hill when we get back.
That's the goal. That is the goal.
Yeah, I just can't harp on it enough. I don't, you know, man, whatever your faith is great. You know, go practice it. That's cool. But, man, if you got guys telling you this, they're just trying to make money. I mean, and I don't know what this guy's net worth is, but I bet it's a bunch. So.
It's probably more than ours.
Yeah, definitely. St. Patrick asking if it was the fight scene with the boxer in the first season. That was a good one. No, the one I'm talking about involves our boy. That's it. I'm not going to give away anything else for those of you who haven't watched it. But, in fact, I've actually been thinking about going back and watching that again or The Wire again, just because I'm pretty much
bone
dry.
That's where we're at.
Yeah. Yeah, because the stuff, and people are making a lot of suggestions, and I've kind of like looked into them and gone like, And right now, it's kind of hard to accept mediocrity because I'm so used to watching, you know, really good shows, and so maybe I'm judging things unfairly a little bit, but that's kind of where I am on stuff.
You shouldn't judge harshly. Maybe that's why you didn't like Alpha Dog. Maybe it's a great show and you just don't realize it.
Well, it may be. It may be. And, you know, sometimes I'm just not in the mood.
It's unlikely.
No, probably not. Sometimes I'm just not in the mood for things either. And, you know, I'll watch them. And honestly, I guess the best example of that was Peaky Blinders. Because when I watched the first two episodes, I'm just like, just not into this. Can't understand a word they're saying. Don't really care. And then I went back and watched it again. And I'm like, okay, I was wrong. This is really good. And I was in the right mood for it then. So, but that right now I'm in the mood for anything that doesn't suck, I guess.
That's a reasonable request.
Yeah, somebody asked, where are you guys on Ozark? Are you in or out?
I'm for sure in.
We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I thought the ending of season 3 was fantastic. I mean, I thought the whole season was okay. Certainly better than last year, but the ending was great. So, yeah. Here's a really good one from 409. I consider myself Christian, a moderately decent human being. I don't mind dying, but I'm not looking to spread a bunch of death to those that aren't ready. Blitz on, guys.
That's a pretty good attitude to have.
You know what it feels like to me, AJ? It feels like these people who are insisting on going and doing this, I think they're seat recliners.
That's probably a good... There's probably some correlation there.
Yeah, I think this is what this is. I think if you're one of those people who's insisting on going to a 1,000-person service, you know, the Rona be damned, I bet you recline your airline seat.
Yeah, just more than likely.
936 has started Banshee last night as well. Well, which guy was on yesterday? Matty Rauch, who plays Clay Burton.
Isn't in first season, I don't think. He is, but not he's not a key player in the first season.
I thought he was in season two was when he came in, and then he had a bigger role in season three, and then he was full cast in season four.
Okay, you might be right.
So somebody says Hunters is amazing, keep showing your toes, and Nazis get killed a lot. I thought that was good. I thought the penultimate scene was fantastic. I thought the last scene of it was just like, oh, give me a break kind of thing. But overall, I thought it was worth watching. And especially now, where the standards are a little bit lower. I think you'd enjoy it. The first episode kind of, this is the other thing I'm doing now. I'm giving them a pass on a first episode because so much of it's set up. And that's this one, the first episode. I'm just like, what the hell? This is garbage. And then it got really good starting like episodes 2, 3, and 4. But like a lot of shows, I think it was about 3 episodes too long. At this point, though, I'll take too long. I'll take anything. I'm desperate. this is like, you know, 1:50 a.m. in the bar, and I will take the ugliest girl here. I will, you know, at this point.
Makes sense.
Oh, man. Paul says, my wife was telling me about a church whose landlord changed their locks because they were trying to still hold services there. Turns out the landlord was another church. Wonder if they did their own locks that way.
I don't know.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN. Pat 409 just started rewatching Justified. I forgot how good the dialogue was on that show.
Such a great show. Well written. That's a good show. Great characters.
Well, And it was all, like, especially early when Elmore Leonard was still alive and he was helping write all that stuff. And Elmore Leonard was one of my biggest influences as a writer. He just, you know, the snappy dialogue is so good. And that show is one of the best written shows I think I've ever seen on television. And it held up, 8 seasons, I think?
Something like that.
That it lasted? Yeah. So, yeah, that's another one that might be on my rewatch list. But for a lot of people have been asking because they got HBO now, you know, which ones to get on there. I think The Wire is the best of those HBO shows. And then obviously The Sopranos is something you might, you're going to want to get on. But if I had to pick
one. Deadwood's a good one too.
Deadwood's great. And then you can go watch the movie that they made last year that was pretty good. So
Entourage is good if you want something lighthearted. I mean, yeah, there's lots of good ones.
If you want to go way back and are looking for kind of a comedy, Dream On. That was an early HBO show that was really funny. And I don't know what happened to the guy who, his name was Brian Benben. And he never really did anything else after that. But,
well, you can also go watch Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yep.
You know, you can watch
Silicon Valley.
The Larry Sanders Show.
Veep.
Yeah, there's lots of good stuff. Oz, if you want to go to an old school drama, so there's a lot of good stuff on HBO. If you've never like watched or had HBO, and you're in catch up mode, there's a lot of good stuff there.
Wasn't 6 Feet Under HBO or was that Showtime?
No, that's HBO.
Yeah, that's another one that people like. So somebody asked, did either of you watch the series 68 Whiskey? First season just ended, not too bad. I watched it. I thought it was trying to be sort of a modern day MASH. When it first started, I thought it was going to be a comedy, and then it turned into something different. So, not bad, but, you know, I still think it was a little confused as to what it wanted to be. I think there's music in the background,
there
so
is.
We should probably go to break. All right, we'll be right back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. She said, I like that you're broken, broken
like me. Maybe that makes me a fool. ESPN 97.5.